I want to thank the worship team again this morning for taking out time and leading us in a time of praise and worship and fellowship before the Father. And I trust again this morning that as you entered in and were able to sing the songs and have your mind drawn again to our Heavenly Father, that you were blessed. And I believe that this morning it blesses the heart of the Father to see a fellowship come together and enter in song and fellowship together. I believe that it truly is a blessing to our Lord. I want to thank you again this morning and for taking the time to fellowship together around the Word and songs and just being together, recognizing that there are a lot of places you can go and a lot of things you can do. I understand that. And so this morning, you're here by divine appointment. God, whatever reason you came, whether your parents brought you or whatever it is, you're here for this time today. And it's good to be together. So let's just pause and invite the Spirit of God to move among us here this morning through the Word. Father, we thank you again this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into the Holy of Holies covered by the blood of Jesus and know that we can stand holy before you. And Lord, this morning as we open the Word, as we look at your Word and we reflect on you, Lord, I pray that you would guide our thoughts and our hearts and our mind, protect our thoughts. I pray, Lord, the words that I share would be able to reach the ear of the hearer undefiled. God, I thank you this morning for this fellowship, and I pray that you would continue to pour out your Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are, I am continuing to work through the covenant this morning, and the paragraph is paragraph 4 that I'll be looking at this morning, and it's basically it's a call to evangelism. It's a call to reaching out to, you know, we have this here fellowship. We've been called together, and we have the privilege of fellowshipping together. We have the privilege of sharing life together as a body, and which is good. And I think that God is, I know that God has called us together to do that. I believe the church is a vital, important part of God's kingdom, and you will see it woven throughout Scripture. The Gospels that are written and the letters that Paul wrote are, many of them, the letters especially of Paul and some of the writings are written to the church. So there is no question that God has a heart for the church and for the local church. You know, we're part of a bigger body. We're part of all those that are born again. And then it boils down to being part of this body here at New Covenant or wherever it is that other people fellowship. So together this morning, we are in fellowship together. And we have agreed together upon a covenant where we annually we go over the covenant, we review it, and make a commitment to the fellowship surrounding the paragraphs and the topics that are listed in the covenant. And it's been our intent from the beginning that the covenant would reflect Scripture, that it would be a representation of God's Word, and that it would be, to our best of our ability, that it would be true. And so it is a great honor to be able to be part of a fellowship. And I just thank you this morning for being a fellowship that I can feel good about and feel good about being part of. And I hope that you can experience the same thing. And it's, I hope that when you get up on a Sunday morning, it's more of a you want to go to church rather than we have to go to church again this morning. And my mind was drawn a little bit to an uninvited guest that showed up on our porch in the form of a cat. And the cat was, obviously, I believe the cat was a house cat at one time. We don't know where the cat came from, but the cat was on our porch, and the cat was very persistent about getting inside. We even put food out on the porch for the cat, and it didn't deter the cat from wanting to get inside to fellowship with us. Now, we're not that great, but that cat really thought we were. And so the cat had it sat on the porch and it meowed at its loudest. Like when you were sitting in the living room, it sounded like it was right in the room because it was sitting outside the window. My heart was moved very briefly with some compassion, and it came inside. I'm trying to be careful. I don't hate cats. I just don't like them. Okay, so I would not do harm to a cat, but we made sure there was food out there, and until we tried to find out where the cat belonged and that kind of thing. Karen put some word out about the cat, that the cat was available, and some neighbor children were walking past one day, and she told them that we have a cat for them. If they want it, they have a big farm in the lane with lots of cats and lots of milk and a perfectly warm barn for a cat to stay in. And the next day, they came and picked the cat up. So everything worked out good, I think. I think it was real good. So if the cat wants to fellowship with those of its own kind. I believe that should be our heart. I believe that should be our heart this morning, that we truly want to fellowship with each other. We want the fellowship, and we'll do what we can to be part of the fellowship, because that's what God has designed for us. But that's not where it stops. God has obviously called us that to go beyond these walls, to go out into the world. And where is the world? That's a question that's up to you to answer. When the Bible says go, where does the Bible say we're supposed to go? It says go into the world. And we'll read the scripture here in a little bit. And let me get this. We got it up there. Good. So I put the first slide up there. Go and tell. Go and tell. And that's going to be pretty much the emphasis of the message this morning, is that God has called us to go and to tell. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about a little bit is the idea of friendship evangelism. And I am not opposed to friendship evangelism. I believe that there is a place when it's done right. We'll get there. So let's look at the scripture in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And let's just pause there for a moment. I wonder why it's important that Jesus wrote these words to us, that is written, that Jesus spoke these words saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Why did he say that? Why was that important for what is to follow? He says, go, therefore. Why? Because all authority was given to him in heaven and earth. Go, therefore. Therefore, because all authority was given to him, he is giving us the command to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching, that's the verbal part. Going, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And in the corresponding scripture in Mark, it says this. And in Mark 16:15, and you don't need to turn to that, I'll just read it quickly. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And I this morning, there's nothing that thrills my heart more than to know that you have been born again, washed in the blood, and saved by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? There's nothing that thrills my heart more than to know that. To know that you have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the most exciting thing you can tell me. It is. Because it is the most important thing that you can tell me. And so why is it that we find ourselves reluctant when God has told us to go into the world? Why are we reluctant so many times to speak the gospel message? Brother Leon has shared, you can do it laying in the hospital. Chester Lance, I talked to Chester on Monday morning again, and Chester is feeling the lack of the fellowship of the body. And Chester was involved in trying to share the gospel with someone there in the prison, and it didn't turn out well. The guy threatened to come into his cell and kill him. And so I don't know what all the dynamics were that happened there, but Chester being bold enough to step out and try and share the gospel message in the prison there had his life threatened. So we know that going into the world, and as it says here in the scripture in Matthew 15, it says going to all the world. So if we're going to take this here scripture as a personal assignment, there is no way that I can go into all the world. Are you with me? There's no way that I can go into all the world. So this, I believe the scripture is speaking to the church or the body of Christ. He was saying it to the disciples, and they were to go into the world. And maybe that's going outside the door. Maybe that's going to your neighbor. Maybe that's going to the person at the grocery store. Maybe that's going to the person at the bank. Maybe that's going into the world at a place of business, school, wherever it might be. It might be across the ocean somewhere. It might be in another country. It might be that God will call you to do that. Looking at the covenant paragraph, it says this. Based upon these scriptures, this is the covenant paragraph that we have covenanted together as a body of believers here at New Covenant to embrace, that this truly is scripture and it truly is a command from God for us to do this. So we covenant together and we embrace this paragraph. It says, I will take seriously Jesus' great commission. Are you this morning taking seriously Jesus' great commission? That's the question that's out there. And in no way this morning, I want to say up front that I'm not preaching this message as a scolding. This is a reminder to all of us that God has called us to do this. You can't back out of it. There is no one that is exempt. If you don't have the title of evangelist, that doesn't mean you don't evangelize. Doesn't mean that God hasn't called you to do that. So, I will take seriously Jesus' great commission by my daily words and life. By my daily words and life. How are we doing? How are you doing with your daily words and your life as it relates to the great commission that God has called us to? I will testify to those around me and to the world at large of God's saving and enabling grace. Let me read it again. I will take seriously Jesus' great commission by my daily words and life. I will testify to those around me, to the world at large, of God's saving and enabling grace. When you make a commitment to the fellowship here at New Covenant, that's a statement that you're making to the rest of the body that you will take that seriously. And I ask you this morning, how is that going? One of the things that I copied a quote from Christianity Today. One of the challenges that we're up against is in our American culture, there is no need. There is no need. And one of the things we also face in our American culture, and especially in this area, is that everyone has some experience to, or everyone has had some exposure to church. So was it good or was it bad? A lot of people have had exposure to church, okay? Doesn't say they're a part of a church. Doesn't say they believe in church. They've had some exposure to church. Christianity Today says this: today's church faces profound challenges within the broader culture. Political correctness, postmodern relativism, religious pluralism. We live in a society full of unchurched people who don't know the basic tenets of Christianity or the redemptive story the scriptures tell. The church at large has a poor reputation among non-Christians. Many hold distorted views of Jesus, the gospel, and traditional Christian faith. So they are biased against us before we have even had a chance to have a conversation with them. And sometimes that's what we find we're up against when we go and we reach out to people who are not churched or who are lost. We find ourselves facing that whole thing of well, the churches, the people are hypocritical. They're hypocrites. You've heard it. We've all heard it. They don't do things right. The church don't do things right. You're right. The church doesn't always do things right. But should that stop us from sharing the most important message that has ever been written, that has ever happened? The most important thing that has happened to you, that has happened to me, should that stop me from sharing it because someone might have an opinion that's different? Should that stop me from sharing the gospel message? My goal this morning is to rekindle your flame, to renew your conviction for the good news and that it truly is good news. And then look for the opportunities within your daily life to be able to reach out to the fruit that is ready and ripe for harvest. Because it's there. It's in your everyday life. It is in your everyday walk. And some of the essentials is we need to pray. And Dave talked about this last Sunday. If we are going to be people who are going to go into the world and tell the people about Jesus, we need to be praying for people, praying for our coworkers, praying for neighbors, praying for family members who are not saved. Prayer is the tool that God will move through. It is the tool that God will use to open doors for us to be able to speak to people. If you're finding it difficult, if you're finding it hard at your place of work or school or wherever, at the grocery market, wherever it might be, if you're finding it hard to do that, start praying once. And I'm not saying you're not. But prayer is a tool that God uses. Go to broken people. Go to broken people. They need to hear the gospel story. They need to hear the gospel message. Broken people need to hear the gospel message. How are they going to hear? How are they going to hear it? Are they going to see it in you? Are they going to hear you speak it? So it is not only, we'll find as we look further through the scripture here in the message, is that it's not only in living it. The Bible does say that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, but the Bible also says they won't know unless someone preached to them. And that's the call for you and I. You can live right, you can do good, and people can see it and they can glorify God, but are they going to get the gospel message? So that's the challenge that we face. And who should I tell? Who should I tell? Let's imagine that you have somehow come into possession of an important piece of information that affects every single person you know. My brother alerted me or brought me a fishing lure. Okay, this is really simple, but I want to tell you, if you're going to go fishing in Lancaster County, you need to have this lure. It works in all the ponds. It works in all the streams that I have fished in Lancaster County, and it's made by Zoom Bait. It's a fat Albert grub about this long. It has a little squiggly tail on it, and it's cotton candy. It's a little purple with polka dots and stuff in it, and it works. And so those of you that are fishers here this morning, if you want to do some good fishing, go to Walmart, get that. They're not expensive. Just put it on a hook. Don't put any weight on. I'm telling you this because this is good news for a fisherman. You see what I'm saying? I have a bit of good information to tell you as it relates to fishing. We have the best information that anyone would ever need and ever want. Why are we not sharing it with everyone that we come in contact with? Why? I ask that question. Why? Why do we not share that with the people? What would you do if you had a piece of information as is what is described here? It's the best news. It's good news. It's that you've ever heard in your life. Not something that you can make money from, not something that you can, it has nothing to do with the physical aspects of life. It is all about your eternal life. Will it change this life? It will, because you'll see it different. You'll see it differently. What would you do with that bit of information? What would you do with it? You would start telling people, right? You would start telling people. Of course you would. Of course you would. What is stopping us? What is stopping us? You wouldn't want to keep it to yourself. You couldn't keep it to yourself if it was something that was really good. For instance, maybe you would call your family, your closest friends. Maybe you talk to those people that you work with that you know that need this, whatever it is, this bit of information. That you would start telling people. You'd send out emails. Maybe you'd contact the radio station or TV station and say, hey, this has to get out. This has to get out because people need to know this. Maybe you found the cure to cancer. Maybe you found a way to magically make the IQ of your children higher than what it is or something. I don't know. You found something that's just a very valuable nugget of truth. Then the question comes up, why should I tell anyone? Why should I tell anyone? It was good for me. There's a few people that are close in my family. My wife knows it. My children know it. Why should I tell anyone? Why should I tell anyone? Now let's imagine a different scenario. You have some extremely important news, but you don't tell anyone. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your family, the people around you find out that you had this important news, this important bit of information that could have changed the lives of everyone around you. You had it. You knew it. But you didn't tell them. What would someone conclude from this kind of behavior? What would someone conclude if they found out that you had this news, but you did not share it? What would be the conclusion? Think in your own mind. You think of the person sitting beside you. You find out that they had this good information. They didn't tell you. What would be the conclusion? The conclusion would almost have to be that it's bad news, that it's bad, that you don't want to tell anyone because you're afraid of how they'll react. You don't want to be the one giving unpleasant, disturbing information, unsettling. So the conclusion would be that it's bad news. So we come to this question. Here's the question. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ good news or bad news? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ good news or bad news? It's the best news of all. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has risen from the dead, and so can we. Jesus has risen from the dead, and so can we. We don't need to live in this dead state anymore because there's been a resurrection, and Jesus paid the debt. He gave his blood for you and I. You sit here this morning, a redeemed person in the presence of God. You sit here, part of the kingdom of God, because Jesus Christ gave his blood for you. And he gave it for everyone on your block. He gave it for everyone in your family. He gave it for everyone that you work with. He gave it for everyone in the world. The good news is that we can live forever. That we can be forgiven of our sins, our slate wiped completely clean. We can have a relationship with the living God. And all we have to do is place our trust in Jesus Christ. All we have to do is place our trust in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. Doesn't that excite you? That's the gospel message. And it's simple. We don't have to figure out ways to make it difficult or complicated for people to understand it. Tell it in its purest form. Tell people that Jesus died for them. Tell people that they need to surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Tell them it's simple. It's not hard. Why is it stopping us? What is stopping us from doing it? What is stopping us from getting that word out? What amazing news. But if it's true and it is, then why are we so reluctant to tell people? Why do we often behave as if the good news were bad news? There are lots of reasons, I think, that we can find within ourselves it's our busy schedule. We're too busy. And many times that's true. Too many times it's true that the busyness of life, getting our children to the next game, getting our groceries, getting the job done, all those kinds of things are things that stop us from sharing the gospel because we're too busy. I'm busy going somewhere. I don't have time to stop. I don't have time to stop and help that person with a flat tire. I don't have time to help that old lady with the grocery cart through the parking lot because I have to be somewhere. I'm important. And the gospel message is put second place. Why? Maybe it is that you feel alone. Maybe you don't feel the support of the fellowship. Maybe you don't feel the support of the body when you're out there and you want to share the gospel with someone. Maybe you don't feel that the body supports you in it, that well, there's this idea that we don't really need to share the gospel because we're predestined anyway. So it's already determined where we're going to go, where we're going to spend eternity. So there's really no reason, no point in going out and sharing the gospel with someone. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. You can turn with me to Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Romans 10, 14 says this: how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by what? By seeing me live a good life? No, it comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. And hearing comes from what? The Word of God. The hearing is the Word of God, the gospel message being shared, and through it, people are brought to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. So I believe that the Scripture is true, that it has called us to live our lives in such a way that we show the world who we are, that we show the world that we truly believe in something, that we believe in something. And here's where I come back again to the idea of friendship evangelism. And many times, as I said earlier, it is neither friendship or evangelism. If we are only going to establish friendships and never speak the gospel message to the people we are being friends with, then we have missed the gospel message, the call to preach, the call to tell, the call to say it. So it is not true friendship. If you truly have a friend and you believe that what you've experienced in Jesus Christ, the freedom that you have found in Christ, if you truly have a friend, you will tell them about Jesus. Amen? You will tell them about Jesus. And if it truly is evangelism, if you are evangelizing to the world and you only do it by your example, by what you live and how you live your life, how you respond to people, and never tell the gospel message, it is not truly evangelism. Therefore, it is neither friendship or evangelism. The two have to come together for it to be true evangelism and friendship. If I'm truly going to be a friend, I need to tell the gospel message. I have to. I ask you this question this morning. For those of you that are sitting here this morning and you have parents who are still alive, you have a mother who is still alive, do you know this morning that your mother has surrendered her life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? If you have a father who is alive here this morning, do you know that your father has surrendered his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Does your father know who Jesus is, and has he surrendered his life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Does your mother know who Jesus is, and has she surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your brother know who Jesus is, and has he surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your sister know who Jesus is, and has she surrendered her life to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you don't know, why don't you know? And I'm as guilty as the next person. My parents are no longer living. I never really got to ask my father directly that question. And I reflect on that, and I look back on that, and I know that some of you are sitting here or at the same place that I was. Why is it so difficult? We can go into a bar, we can go into the prisons, we can go into the streets, we can go to other countries, and we can tell them about Jesus Christ, and we can ask people, do you know Jesus? Have you been born again? We can do that. But when it comes to our own families, our brothers and sisters, our parents, why is it so hard? I believe it is one of the things that the enemy does not want us to do. Because we are most effective, I believe, when we are able to live our lives, speak the gospel. So is it in demonstrating it, seeing it? And let me, it should be a call to all of us to be intentional about how we live with our parents, how we live around our brothers and sisters. Are we being true? Are we showing the gospel message to them and then asking them? Because if you're not living a life that is reflecting the lordship of Jesus Christ and you're asking them if they're born again, not going to work. So the first place to start is that I know for sure, without a doubt, that I've answered this question: have you surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Have I surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ? And once I can answer that question, then I can ask others the same question. Once I have answered that question, then I can ask others the same question. Have I surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Where does the church come in? Where does the church come in all of this? One of the things that I believe that we are truly called together is in Ephesians 4 at 12, it talks about the different gifts that are given to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So I believe that's the primary purpose of the church, is the fellowship, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, and out of that, we are all called to go out and evangelize, okay? And one of the places that I believe that one of the reasons the church plays such a vital role in this is in this scripture that is found in John 13:35, says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples." And it is what? That we wear the same clothes? That we drive the same car? No. It's that we have love for one another. How is the world going to know that this gospel message that we are talking about, this gospel message that we are trying to share with them, how are they going to know that it's real and that it's true when they don't see the church functioning together in love? So the thing that this scripture is written, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love for one another. So herein is the responsibility of the church. Here's where the church gets involved in evangelism. Because you don't need God to build impressive buildings. You don't need God to get people to come to church. You don't need God to sing hymns. You don't need God to listen to sermons. But you can't duplicate true love. And I know that when there's genuine love, it is something that speaks way beyond what we are able to say. Way beyond what we're able to say. And I know that in 1 Corinthians 11, which is called the love chapter, many people use it at weddings. But you know, the truth of the matter is that it was written to the church. That if we don't have love for one another, we're missing it. We're going out and trying to tell the world that this Jesus is able to make your life different, is able to make your life change. But we find it difficult to fellowship together in a unity of love. I believe it's a work of the enemy that Satan wants to use to destroy the witness. And so one of the most powerful tools that we have is our love for each other. And I asked this morning, how are we doing as it relates to going out, teaching them to become disciples? How are we doing? And not scolding, I'm just saying, how are we doing? Because I believe that it is more powerful than signs and wonders is the love that we have for each other. I believe that. How do we demonstrate that? By the way we treat each other, by our conversation, our tone of voice, our facial expressions, by how we listen, by how we respond when someone wrongs us, by how we respond when someone in the congregation is in need. They can't see our hearts, but they can see what comes from them. They can't see our hearts, but they can see, the world can see what comes from the heart. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news, good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. But Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you taking part in that? Are you taking part this morning in being true to the covenant? I know there's a quicker way to do this, but I will take seriously Jesus' great commission. By my daily words. How are your daily words? How are your daily words around the lunchroom table? How are your daily words at school? How are your daily words when politics comes up? How are your daily words? And your life. Are you living a life in such a way that people are going to say, what is different? And I'm here to tell you this morning that the world is dead. And if you're waiting for the world to come to you and ask you, many times you'll wait a long time. Many times you will wait a long time. If you're waiting for the world to come and ask you without you taking initiative to speak it, should we live our lives to the best of our ability in righteousness? Yes, we should. But we should all always be true and faithful by our daily words and our life. I will testify to those around me and to the world at large of God's saving and enabling grace. Maybe God's calling you this morning. Maybe he's speaking to you about someone within your family. Maybe he spoke to you this morning about talking to your parents and finding out for sure. Maybe he's speaking to you this morning about your children, your neighbors, your friends. Do your friends know? Do they know? Maybe God's speaking. Let's stand together. I like a chorister to prepare for a closing song. And I just give this challenge again. For us to be intentional. To go out, to go to the world, go into the world, to reach out to the people closest to us, to reach out to neighbors and those people. And be true to that scripture. And maybe this morning God is calling you to go to another country. If he's calling you to do that, you answer that call. Maybe he's calling you to go to another city or another county, another state. Maybe he's calling you to some very unreasonable or what seems unreasonable to you. The Bible says go. And when we pray, I believe that God will give us where we should go. God will give us the words to speak. I believe my God and that he is able to do that. So many times he has done that. I recall the time that I first went into the prison and with the Gospel Express and went into a cell block there that was primarily Muslim. And I had prepared for this. I'd read scriptures and I felt like I'd read Billy Graham's handbook for reaching out and evangelism, and I felt like I was pretty well propped up with the things that I needed to go in there. And when I went into that cell block and I met that devout Muslim, he knocked every prop out from under me that I had. Not in reality, but spiritually, I crawled out of that cell block and shared it with some brothers. Brother Jim was there at that time, and shared it with some brothers, and they gathered around and prayed for me. And the next cell block I went in, I felt like the Spirit of God went with me. So if you're here this morning and you're using all kinds of props, forget it. Forget it. Go in what God has given you and let that be the tool that you use for the kingdom of God and to his honor and glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the command that you have given. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we would be an evangelistic, continue to be an evangelistic church that reaches out to the world around us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that we have opportunity to come to you and call on you. And Lord, in the situations that seem to be impossible, Lord, you are able to make it possible. You're able to do it. You're able to do far above what we can ask or think. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would anoint each and every one of us in a way that the people around us would be able to see. And Lord, open our mouths that we would be able to speak because we are finding it difficult. Father, I invite you this morning to move in our hearts, to lead and guide and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open here. If you need to speak with God, do that as we're during the closing song here. And again, listen to the voice of God.